Good morning. How good it is to be together on this Sunday in October, a very special Sunday for five of our confirmands and their families. As always, I remind you when we gather, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. Just a few important announcements as we get started today. A reminder that our St. John's 2022 calendar is in process, and as always, we seek sponsors for each of the months of the calendar. All but two of the 12 months have been claimed with sponsors. Two remain. If you would like to sponsor a month in the 2022 calendar, all you need to do is call the church office this week. The deadline for sponsorship is next Sunday. Also, you've probably noticed in the front of the church here, in front of both the pulpit and the lectern, are beautiful prayer shawls. Our prayer shawl knitters have been busy during the pandemic creating prayer shawls that you may take to family members and friends. A reminder, a concrete, tangible reminder that you are surrounded by God's love and our prayers. We simply ask if after following worship you come forward and claim a prayer shawl. Make sure you take the Ziploc bag that goes with them. It has a letter in it. And also there are small tracking slips that our prayer shawl knitters ask you to fill out so that we can keep track of where our prayer shawls are ending up. I know they have traveled all across the country and some across the ocean. People are being touched in a variety of ways. And just one other reminder, we have begun our fall Bible study. Last Wednesday evening was our first evening. I ordered more books, and all but two of those additional books have been claimed, but if you would like to purchase a copy of Blessed Are the Crazy, I have two copies left, and they are in my office and can be picked up after church. I believe that is all the announcements for this morning. I'm going to invite you to join with me in taking a deep and slow breath as we shift our gears. Breathe in God's presence, a presence of comfort and strength. Hold on to that, and as you breathe out anything that might be distracting you or weighing heavy on your mind, so that together we might sense God's presence here and now among us in ways that are unmistakably real. As we worship, amen. As we begin worship this morning, I'm going to invite you to use your imagination for just a moment. Imagine that you have lost your sight and desperately want to regain it. You've caught word through the grapevine that there is this wonderful healer named Jesus, and he just happens to be coming to your town. In fact, you can hear him approaching. And as he gets near, you call out for all your worth, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, that embarrasses your friends, and they tell you to shut up. But before they get a chance to do that, Jesus has already heard you. And he tells those close to him, "Go get that person and bring them here." Suddenly, your friends change their tone, and they become encouraging. "Take heart," they say, "get up. Jesus is calling you." Take heart. I love that phrase. It means don't despair. Don't give up hope. Don't quit. When we cry out to Jesus, he hears our voice. He comes closer. He leans in toward us and asks us the very same question he asked Bartimaeus, the blind man who's at the center of today's gospel lesson. He asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you long for? What void in your life needs to be filled? What ache needs to be relieved? What wound needs to be healed? As we prepare to enter into worship today, many of us here in this beautiful sanctuary, but some listening to worship from home, perhaps their office or in their car, maybe on a quiet walk, I would challenge you to ask that question. Think about it. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Take heart, knowing that when you dare to ask that question, he will lean in toward you. He will hear your voice, even now as we worship, in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying the prayer of confession printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Merciful God, just as your Son Jesus invited Bartimaeus to voice his deep need and the longings of his heart, so too Jesus invites us to tell him what we want him to do for us. Sadly, our requests are often shallow and short-sighted. We ask for good weather for special events, request that our favorite team might win, plead for a good test score or a day without problems. When Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" he was challenging him to speak candidly about what would make him whole, about what would change his life for the better. God, forgive us for not taking heart and seizing your Son's power when we have had the chance to do so. May we have the courage to approach with humility the one who can take the broken pieces of our lives and begin the process of turning us around one day at a time. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we confess our sins, one of the things we are asking Jesus to do for us is forgive us. And he does. No strings attached, no questions asked. The slate is wiped clean, and we are given an opportunity to begin anew. May we dare to claim this gift. May we live knowing that it makes a difference. May we share it freely with others. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. We don't have a specific message for our children today because we want to be sure that we leave plenty of time to confirm our young people and to share in communion. But don't worry to all of our children out there, you still have a carryout connection activity for today. You're going to be setting up and playing a game that requires you to ask for directions, which is not always the easiest thing for some people to do. In our passage of scripture today that I just read, we are introduced to a man who was blind named Bartimaeus, and he is in need of Jesus' healing powers. Jesus is passing by out of town, on his way out of town from Jericho, when Bartimaeus sees him and starts yelling for him to help and heal him. Even when all of his friends and the people around him tell him, "Shh, stop yelling," he continues to cry out for help. Because of Bartimaeus' bold voice, Jesus hears his cries and heals him, restoring his vision. We hope that the game that you set up and play today reminds you that as you ask for directions to do what you need to do in the game, that we also need to make our needs known to God by asking for help. Remember to be bold when you pray. God wants to know what's on our hearts and our minds. So let's join in prayer, which will bless our learning through our carryout connection and bless us in our week ahead. And then, as always, we will join in praying our Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray. God, thank you for the gift of this day and for the many ways and places we learn about you. We are grateful for people of faith that have gone before us, people like Bartimaeus, who remind us to use our voices to cry out to you for help and healing and hope. May we be bold in prayer and in the living out of our faith. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
I invite you to be with us now in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, how we long to hear a word from you, a word that will guide us in our living, that will encourage us, that will answer our questions, that will help us find our way. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, that we might hear your word in the midst of our words, and that we might have the courage to act upon your truth. Amen. Every year, as our time of instruction with our confirmands draws to a close, one of the last things we do is focus on creating a statement of faith, a creed, if you will. Ever since the beginning of Christianity, followers of Jesus have attempted to put into words what it is they believe, their faith. In the book of Acts in the New Testament, the earliest Christians created a creed that was very concise. In fact, it included just three words: Jesus is Lord. As a multitude of interpretations of Christianity began to emerge, creeds became lengthier, much more complicated, and in almost every case made use of language that would have been familiar to people at a particular time in history. When the United Church of Christ formed back in 1957, bringing together the Evangelical Reformed denomination, of which St. John's was a part, and the Congregational Christian denomination, it didn't take long for a group of folks to set about the important work of putting into words what this denomination believed about God, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit, and about the church. We call the United Church of Christ of State, we call it our United Church of Christ Statement of Faith, and in just a few moments, we will actually be sharing it together. We use this statement of faith as a springboard for our confirmation with the confirmands, as they attempt to put into their own words their understanding of what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to find their place in the life of our church.
So each year, I have the joy of piecing all of those individual thoughts of our confirmands together into an organized and cohesive statement of faith that is actually an insert in your bulletin on the orange paper. You don't need to look at it right now, though. And they will be sharing it with you in just a minute in the course of their confirmation. And I have to say that piecing all of that together and reading their thoughts is one of my favorite tasks of all times. It is such a privilege to get to see even a little glimpse into their minds and their hearts of our young people, to be on the sidelines cheering them on as they explore, question, discover, and grow and live into their lives of faith. Each of these young people has thoughts about God. One of them even wanted to specify that while they think God is old and wise, he does not have gray hair. They have thoughts about the person of Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the church, who we are, what we do, and where we're going. That part is always my favorite. This isn't the first statement of faith I have compiled over the years, and while each class's statement is a perfect and unique expression of who they are together in this moment in time, not one class we have ever worked with thought that church was easy, or something to be taken lightly, or something unimportant. These young people understand that church is a place where something special happens. Not something effortless or happy-go-lucky, but something special.
One of the lines in our United Church of Christ statement of faith reminds us that we have been called into the church to accept the cost and the joy of discipleship, to be servants in the service of others. Just last week, you may remember, we focused on what it looks like to demonstrate great service. That is, to climb rather than up the ladder, down the ladder, out to the edges, so that we might join Jesus in helping others. I'm especially drawn to the phrase, the cost and joy of discipleship, because it reminds us that following Jesus isn't always easy. Just as privilege and responsibility go hand in hand, so do joy and cost. Following Jesus on the one hand means knowing we will never be alone, knowing that we have access to strength beyond our own, knowing that we are loved, no strings attached. But it also means being in community. And being in community is hard work. An independent Christian, a solo Christian, is an oxymoron. We are not Christian by ourselves. We are not Christian in a vacuum. We are Christian in community, with all sorts of people, some of whom we agree with, and some of whom we do not agree with. Some of whom look just like we do, and some of whom do not look like we do. Some of whom become our best friends, and some of whom know how to push every single one of our buttons. Community is hard work. It can get really messy at times, but at its best, it can accomplish incredible things for God, and it can change our world for the better.
Now, it has to be said, we are under no false pretenses that these young people, or any of our young people, or any of us at any age for that matter, will always show up at church. Not because they don't care or because they don't want to, although sometimes they might not want to, but because they are busy showing up in the world, showing up in a variety of things that are important to them and that fill their lives and our world with color and music and joy and hope. Our goal during confirmation and what we celebrate on this day is not our confirmands memorizing scripture, knowing all the important dates in church history, being able to recite creeds without looking, or making a non-refundable commitment to serving on a committee. What we hope to instill, encourage, cultivate, and celebrate is a deep knowledge inside their growing hearts and minds that church is a place, a safe place, to be, to come back to go when things there are needing to be celebrated and when there are pieces to pick up. That there are people who care about them and will greet them with genuine warmth and belonging. And really, isn't that what all of us want, regardless of our age? A place to be ourselves and to be loved, not in spite of it, but because of it.
It was about 20 years ago that I first began referring to this faith community we call St. John's as a wonderfully motley crew. I never intended to be critical or disparaging about any of our folks here, but rather to acknowledge that we are a colorful and diverse bunch, and we are very, very human. I've been here long enough to know that we don't always get it right. Best laid plans go awry, things fall apart, people are hurt and offended along the way, mistakes happen. Yet what always gives me great hope is that somehow we manage to pick up the pieces together, to offer or ask for forgiveness when needed, and to move forward, hopefully having learned from our mistakes. And when we are at our best, which I have seen many, many times during this pandemic, comfort is offered to those who are in need. Hope is given to those filled with despair. And generosity of time and resources has brought about incredible change in the lives of people. I mention all of this because this is the community that our five confirmands are joining, claiming a motley crew eager to claim them in return. I'll always remember a sign I remember seeing in front of a church as I bicycled along that church. It was along the Jersey Shore a few years ago. It was a sign, and I'm not one inclined to put signs out in front of the church, but this is one that I'd be inclined to put out in front of St. John's. It was honest. It was simple. The message on the sign in front of the church was, "If you're looking for a perfect church, keep driving. If you're looking for a perfect church, keep driving." Bella, Chelsea, Lexi, Mitchell, Ray, you aren't joining a perfect church, but I can tell you this much. You're joining a church full of people who want to love you, who want to be there for you on the journey, who want to guide you along the way if you'll give them a chance, who want the best for you, and who will join you on the journey as well.
We pray that you will allow the church to be all that it can be in your lives, to be the amazing, messy, soul-nourishing, mistake-making, life-sustaining gift that it is, to invite these people in, even as you affirm your own place among them, to join in what's going on and share your new ideas with us, to learn from us and with us and to teach us so that our community can begin to look more like you and in turn more like Christ.
You have heard me say this many, many times before, and you'll hear me say it again. We are in this together, for better or for worse. That's what community is all about. And to remind you of one of my favorite lines from one of my all-time favorite hymns, we are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other go the mile and bear the load. That can get messy at times. In fact, often it gets messy, and it isn't easy. But for us, that is what following Christ is all about.
May it be so this joyful day and every day. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to invite you to turn to page 4 in your bulletin, where you will find our United Church of Christ statement of faith, to which Pastor Addie and I have referred. This is our denomination's attempt to put into words what we say we believe. And I invite you to join me in saying what we believe.
We believe in you, O God, eternal Spirit, God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God, and to your deeds we testify. You call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. You judge people and nations by your righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, an eternal life in your realm which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen.
Please be seated. As we switch our gears and move into a time of prayer, I want to lift up a few joys and concerns that have been shared in our book throughout the week. Our joys: Loretta and Jerry Umstead celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary on October 19th, so we celebrate with Loretta and Jerry and give thanks for their life together. Celebrating birthdays this week are Paul Zirkel and Sally Jarenko. So we celebrate with Paul and Sally. And two concerns to lift up. We keep in our prayers the family of Reverend Charles Strasbaugh. Charles passed away on Thursday, and his service will take place on Tuesday at 10:30 at Huff and LaCure Funeral Home down the street, with a calling time an hour before that, beginning at 9:30. We also keep in our prayers this week Ruth and Den Elman, whose daughter Karen unexpectedly passed away yesterday in Colorado. So we keep Ruth and Den in our prayers. Knowing, of course, that we all always come to a time of worship and prayer with many joys and concerns, names and faces, situations weighing heavy on our hearts and minds. So I invite you to bring those to mind now as we hand them over to God together in prayer. Let us pray. God, on this day of confirmation, though we are not celebrating on the day of Pentecost, we still give thanks for your breath of life, and we pray that you breathe your spirit into us this day. Life in recent months and years has both caught us off guard and been so much of the same. It has taken our breath away and given us a chance to catch our breath. We are grateful for your presence in the midst of all of it, and for the steadiness of your spirit. As we celebrate five more young people choosing to embrace a life of faith and to add their learning voices to our motley crew, we pray for our church, for the community of which we belong, for the church around the world, that we as a people may be one body, united in understanding and love, brought and held together by our mission to serve and seek justice for all people. God, we pray for those near and far, beloved ones and strangers, who are suffering, grieving, waiting, hurting, those who are alone, those who are in need of your comfort and your guidance and your peace and your presence. We also lift up our celebrations to you in joy and thanksgiving, and we think of those celebrating birthdays, anniversaries, and important milestones. We pray especially this day for Ray, Alexi, Bella, Mitchell, and Chelsea. What an awesome day this is for them and for all who have encouraged and supported them on this journey. We pray that they continue to seek you, to find and help create a sense of home, safety, and acceptance in your church, and continue to develop their unique and wonderful selves to your work in the world in a way that only they can. We pray that we, the people of St. John's, honor and encourage their voices as they grow and lead us on our journey into new places. Loving God, be with us as we cast visions and dream dreams together, as we seek to comfort one another, accompany one another, and most of all, love one another. Where there is division, O God, offer us a way of tolerance and understanding. Where our fears overcome us, show us a path forward. Fill us all with the strength and hope for all times and all places, this day and every day. Amen.
As you arrived for worship today, you placed your offering in the plates that were there by the doors when you came in. We pause now to dedicate those gifts as we sing together our doxology. Gracious and generous God, you are indeed the giver and the gift, the source of all that we have and are. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of this day, the day that we celebrate our confirmands and their faith commitment, as we give thanks for their families and seek to be your church. Bless these gifts and bless us as we seek to do the work you have called us to do, as we seek to be good stewards of all that you have entrusted to our care. May these gifts be used to do your work, not only here, but far beyond this place. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. For many of you, this is the moment you've been waiting for as we celebrate the rite of confirmation for this year's five confirmands. It has been an extraordinary year, not our usual time for confirming our young people, but it has been a wonderful year, and we are so glad to have the opportunity to do this together today. We're going to begin by introducing our confirmands, along with their parents, who will come forward and stand on the floor in front of them so that you can connect families and faces. We especially want the parents to come forward because, thanks to them, these young people have come to church, have been a part of what's going on, and parents have worked very, very hard to juggle and shift schedules to make sure everyone could be together to do what we need to do. So I'm going to let Addie begin by introducing our class members.
Our first one up is Isabella Rose Bonanno and her parents Rachel and Kevin.
Chelsea Catherine Evans and her mother Julie.
Alexi Rose Hutchinson and her parents Brian and Amy.
Mitchell Joseph O'Neill and his parents Tracy and Mark.
And Ray Ashton Stoller and his parents Dave and Shannon.
Those of you who are parents know that it is no small thing to persuade a teenager of the importance of coming to church and participating in its life and especially engaging in this process we call confirmation. So I want to express a special thanks to these parents for all they have done to help make this a possibility this past year. We are deeply appreciative of them and the young people that they have sought to raise and enter into the life of the church. And I think they deserve our applause. Okay, parents, you can now relax for a few moments. Go back to your seats and relax while we put your sons and daughters to work.
Confirmands, if you have your statements of faith, that's great. Wonderful. Awesome. I see five. As I shared during our sermon and as we looked at earlier, we have compiled all of the thoughts of these young people into a statement of faith, which they will claim as their own, a little snapshot of what they believe and who they are in this moment in time. I invite you to follow along, but they will read out loud, although it might be a little hard to hear them because they're wearing masks. But don't worry, I have the microphone. So, confirmation class of 2021, let us say what we believe. We believe that God created us and loves us. God is old and wise, powerful and protective, forgiving and fair. God gets us through the tough times, gives us hope, and makes us feel safe, no matter how challenging things get. We believe that Jesus was just like us and that he is God's faithful Son. He is kind and caring, never judges, loves everyone, never picks one over the other, and will talk to, care for, and be kind to everyone and everything. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a presence that surrounds us, comforts us, and guides us through life. It is calm, comforting, warm, and cozy. The Holy Spirit is within each of us and within the church, making us feel grateful and connected. We believe that the church is a community of people who choose each other and choose God together. The church connects us to God and to our community. It is about helping each other, making people feel safe, and showing everyone that they matter. We know that the church is not just about the building, but all the people that are a part of it. Joining St. John's means that we care about what is going on, have a responsibility to our community, and will serve God and the church the best we can. Amen.
We come to that time in our service when we engage in a sacrament that we call the sacrament of touch, the laying on of hands, a very simple, concrete, tangible reminder that these five young people are connected to all who have come before them, who have confirmed their faith, all the way back to Jesus' first followers and disciples, which is a pretty long line of people, a pretty big motley crew. And you will be connected to those who come after you as well. As we invite you to come and kneel before us, Pastor Addy and I will be laying hands on each of our confirmands' heads, offering a silent prayer for them as they continue on their journey. And I pray that you will be also praying for them as well. Things are just a little bit different this year. Usually the bread that the confirmands bake is shared with you as members of the congregation and family. However, because of circumstances, we figured that was not the wisest thing to do, but they did break bread. And thanks to Judy Johnston, who spent time in the kitchen with us last week, each of our confirmands has a wonderful loaf of banana bread to take home with them today. And we're using one of the extra loaves for communion for our confirmands. Our sense always is that when Jesus broke bread with his followers, he broke the bread that was familiar to them. This bread is familiar to us. It reminds us of what Christ has done. As we come to share communion, that we remember the words that Jesus spoke as he gathered with his disciples in an upper room in the midst of a Passover meal. He took bread, and after giving thanks for that bread, he broke it. And as he shared it with those he loved, you know what he said. He said, "This is my body given for you, for each one of you. As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way that Jesus took bread, he also took the cup. And after giving thanks for it and blessing it, and before sharing it with those he loved, he said to his disciples, "This is my blood, poured out for you, and whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus did pause to give thanks and to say grace before sharing in this meal and these gifts, so I invite you to join me in prayer as we do the same. God, what a joyful day it is to be together, celebrating confirmation gathered around your table, sharing in the life-giving, life-sustaining gift that you have laid out before us. As we share in eating and drinking, may we be reminded that these ordinary things, ordinary bread, ordinary juice, they are made extraordinary by the power of your love and the power of community. May the same love and the same power of community transform each of us, that we might share with others as generously as you have shared with us. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
I'm used to having... We will be sharing communion with the confirmands first. It is traditional for the confirmands to then serve communion to the congregation. Again, that won't happen today, but the first time we are able to once again do that, we will be recruiting these five confirmands to help with that serving, their first act of official service in the life of the church. But for now, we will serve them initially, and then we will be reaching out to each of you. As we prepare to share communion, I just want to check and make sure if there is anyone who did not pick up communion elements when they came in, if you would just raise a hand. Our hospitality team members are paying attention. They'll look for your hand. Raise a hand so they can see you. We have gluten-free options as well as the regular ones. Okay, it looks like everyone has gotten something toward the back here. Okay, good, good, good. Most importantly, I want you to know that you are welcome at this table. Whether your faith is firm or whether you are full of doubt, whether you've communed often recently or not for a very long time, whether you're young or older or somewhere in between, you are welcome at this table. This is not my table. It's not Pastor Addie's table. It's not even St. John's table. It is Christ's table. And all who hunger and thirst for what Christ has to offer are welcome here. Having said that, you've got to maneuver with those little communion cups, and I know they're a bit tricky, so we're going to laugh together if we need to. But first, I'm going to invite you to peel back the clear little piece on the top that exposes the wafer or the bread that is there. So peel back the clear layer so that you can get the wafer. If you're having difficulty with maneuvering that, ask for help from someone nearby, okay? This is, for us, the body of Christ. I do think Christ has a wonderful sense of humor. I think he gets that we're struggling in the midst of this time. We eat it knowing that he is in this with us, the body of Christ. Take and eat.
And now the challenge is to peel back the next layer, the foil layer, so that you have access to the juice. And may that small little taste be a reminder of the fullness of life that Christ promised to us by pouring out his life for us. Remembering this, we take and drink.
Let's give thanks. Loving God, thankfully you can come to us in all sorts of ways, in all sorts of circumstances, and we thank you especially that in Christ you have come to us and fed us in ways this world never can and never will. May we find the nourishment that we have experienced today, nourishment that will carry us into this day, into this week, into what lies ahead, reminding us that you feed us so that we might feed others, literally and figuratively. May we always know that you are on the journey with us. May we remember to stay close so that we might hear your voice and follow your way. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Just a note about our confirmands and welcoming them following worship today. You may have noticed as you came into the sanctuary, decorated tables and balloons and things with goodies on them. They are to honor our confirmands and they are for all to enjoy. You will be able to see our confirmands mingling. We're not actually going to form a receiving line of any kind because we don't want to encourage too much clustering of people together indoors, but we're asking them to keep their red robes on so that you can't miss them in the crowd and so that you can make a point of greeting them and welcoming them into our church family.
Thank you.
here at St. John's, we have a tradition of welcoming new members by applauding for them. So I'm going to invite you to welcome Bella, Chelsea, Lexi, Mitchell, and Raymond into our wonderfully motley crew, and let's make it official. So they saw those cupcakes out in the narthex and in the elevator lobby. I know they're headed that direction. I trust you will as well. I know there's some ice cream to go along with those cupcakes. A special thanks to our elders for organizing and distributing these, taking care of it. As I said, we really want to encourage this to be as safe as possible, so we invite you to pick up your individually wrapped goodies and take them with you. I know it's a little brisk outside, but it is a beautiful day if you want to head that direction. But again, our confirmands are going to keep their robes on for just a bit so that you might greet and welcome them in an official way. And as we all go out into the world on this beautiful Sunday, recognizing that life is a gift, my hope and my prayer is that we will be as good as our word, that we will welcome these young people, not just today, but every chance we get, that we will be there for them, listening to them, supporting them, learning with them and from them as we journey together. And as we do, may the light of God surround you. May the love of God enfold you. May the power of God protect you. And the peace of God remain ever with you. Amen.